Dear friends, our Lord and Master Jesus Christ says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Please pray with me. Father, your servant Moses, full of the Spirit, stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go, so that they may enter into the promised land and serve you freely, no longer subject to false idols or false ideas about your truth. Yes, Lord. Therefore, free your church today against every false idol and idea that stands in the way of the gospel. Free us again to be your people who serve you freely and gladly, both now and forevermore. Amen. In my book, Martin Luther was not Jesus Christ, but he is one of the most faithful servants who took Christ's word seriously about being set free. Whether you like him or hate him, whether you think he was a hero or a heretic, you must agree that Martin Luther fought for Christian freedom. What kind of Christian freedom did Luther fight for? Wrong question. What kinds of freedom did Luther fight for? For there certainly wasn't just one. So on this Reformation Day, October 31st, on the 493rd anniversary, when Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the castle door at the church in Wittenberg, let us remember the three kinds of Christian freedom of the Reformation and the gospel reading that we heard today. Freedoms that Luther fought for, freedoms that we should continue to fight for too. The three kinds of freedom that we'll consider today are these. Freedom from the church, freedom for the church, and finally, freedom to serve God freely as the church. First, the freedom from the church. A question for you all today, was the church free in Luther's day? Was it free? Was it free from error? Was it free from false teaching about the very main thing in the Bible, the central teaching of the Bible, how we sinners become saints before a holy and righteous God? If your answer is yes, then you really don't need the Reformation and you can go home. But if the answer is no, or not sure, then maybe you already understand, or maybe you're open to hearing about why Luther had to fight for freedom from the church. Not abandoning the church, not leaving the church, not that kind of freedom, but reforming the church to be more faithful to God. Luther did not fight for freedom from church so that he could go and play golf with his friend Philip Melanchthon or go home on the weekends and drink beer, although he did drink some beer, didn't he? Christian freedom, but in moderation. Luther fought for freedom from every wayward form of church that sets itself up over and against God's word and strays from God's truth. The sale of indulgences in Luther's day was the initial reason why the church needed to be freed from the wickedly false understanding and confusion about the meaning of the word grace. God's people were taught that they had to pay money so that they could have freedom from punishment for their sins for themselves and for their parents and their grandparents in purgatory. What a horrible, greedy thing to teach God's people, that they had to pay for their own families and they already struggled because they hardly pay to put bread on their table. But to think that the only way they can get to heaven is just to put a coin in the coffer. Justification by jingling money. In truth, it was a scheme to help the Pope build a new building in the Church for Rome, a higher ceiling church that could house St. Peter's bones. So Luther's response, in a nutshell, was, reform, church. Turn back, church, to God's word, which teaches that justification comes apart from our wallet and without our works. God's forgiveness comes freely by grace through believing, faith which trusts the word of God, the God in Christ, the word made flesh, who by his death sets us free, who pays the full price for our pardon, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. His death sets us free. The gospel reading we heard today, if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. You don't set yourselves free. The Son sets you free. Faith believes that, receives that gift. While God is just and demanding perfection, he's gracious. And he graciously gives his one and only Son the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And you know what the church said, don't you? The church said, no, Martin Luther, no, you're wrong. You're wrong to doubt and to question the Pope and the cardinals and their practice of issuing indulgences. Recant, Martin Luther. And Luther said, I cannot. Unless I am convinced by scripture or sound reason, Luther said, I will not recant. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen. So the Roman Church said, out you go. You're excommunicated, Luther. And Luther said, out you go too. Luther said, you excommunicate me? Well, I also excommunicate you. May God judge between your excommunication and mine. That was the start of freedom from the church. He didn't ask for this kind of freedom, but he got it through the effort to reform the church. Luther, finding himself free from the church, had to consider carefully what the church today is. In his small called articles, Article 12, Luther said, we do not concede to them that they are the church, and in truth they are not the church, nor will we listen to those things which, under the name of church, they enjoin or forbid. For thank God, today a child 7 years old knows what the church is. Namely, the holy believers and lambs who hear the voice of their shepherd. The children pray thus, I believe in one holy Catholic or Christian church. This holiness does not consist in albs, tonsures, long gowns, and other of their ceremonies devised by them beyond holy scripture, but in the word of God and true faith. What is the church? Jesus, in our gospel reading today, says it very clearly. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now that Luther was free from the church, he began to fight for other freedoms for the church. And many German territories joined with him in studying and fighting for these freedoms, these Reformation freedoms, or Refer freedoms, if you will. As many German territories became identified as churches of the Reformation, later called Protestants at the Diet of Speyer in 1529, later the churches of the Augsburg Confession of 1530, then ultimately Lutheran churches like ours today called Lutheran, who uphold all the sacred writings of Holy Scripture, and also rightly confessed in the Book of Concord of 1580. In those writings, you find freedoms for the church. For example, freedom for the church's priests to marry. The church had forbidden priests for marriage. Was that biblical and right? Did they have authority to do this, to forbid them to marry? God's word teaches that Peter, the so-called first pope, was married, as were other apostles. Remember Zechariah, the priest, who was married to Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, married. Nothing in Scripture forbids priests from marriage. Another important freedom for the church, for us today, freedom for the laity to receive both kinds in the Lord's Supper. Not just one kind, but both kinds, both the bread and the wine. The Roman Church had been withholding one kind, the wine, the blood of Christ, from the people. Jesus initially gave both to his disciples, but somewhere along the way, it had turned into only for the priest, they get the bread and the wine, but the laity just the bread. Luther, therefore, free from the church, helped restore that practice slowly, over time, because some people were scared to take it. He wasn't trying to force this on the people, but to teach them from God's word. And we're really worried about being worthy. What, am I really worthy to come receive that gift of bread and wine? Am I worthy? Because the priests, they're worthy. Look how holy they are. They get both. And Luther said, no, listen, this is what makes you worthy to receive both the bread and the wine. When you have faith in these words, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, that's what makes us worthy. Fasting and bodily preparation and punishments, no punishments, please. But those fasts, that's all fine, outward training, but he is worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words, given and shed for you. Believe it and it's yours. You're worthy because of faith, not by works that we have done. Another freedom was to hear the Bible in one's own language. Luther translated the Bible into German and it sold and was distributed like hotcakes. His enemies said, now everyone will know God's word. Oh my! Just think of what might happen. This is a great freedom for the church to hear and read God's full word, not just to know a little parts here and there from other teachers or from church services, which were often in Latin, and only about a third of the people even understood Latin at that day. So Luther reformed the church, made the Bible speak German. And also there was freedom for the lay people to learn the meaning of God's word. Not just for priests and professors anymore. Many priests and monks didn't even really know God's word said. They never read the whole thing. Luther didn't read it until he became a professor of the Bible in the college and university of Wittenberg. All they knew was canon law. All they could teach was what they were told. But the scriptures, oh, that's too highfalutin, let alone for priests, let alone us, was the thought. So Luther developed two catechisms, the small and the large, to make God's word clear, the meaning of God's word clear. So they could return, parents, you could return to teaching your children God's word. And we not take that to granted, that freedom that we have to teach our children God's word, maybe not take that freedom for granted, and fall back again into a yoke of slavery. As our gospel says, abide in my word. You shouldn't trust councils or popes or pastors to abide in God's word for you. Abide in God's word. Read, mark, learn, inwardly digest God's word. Take it to heart. Read God's word. May it abide in you. But how can you abide in God's word if you can't read it? How can you abide if you don't know what it's saying? That was the question, the problem for the reformers. So they translated God's word to the people, the language of the people. Or how about freedom for every person to be spiritual in an otherwise un- or even anti-spiritual world? Luther changed the thinking of the Christian church of his day, who thought that the only way to be truly, truly spiritual was to leave the world behind and to go enter the monastery, if you were going to be a monk, or the cloister to be a nun, kind of like what Katie von Bora, Luther's wife, did before she read Luther's writings and then left the cloister. Luther's doctrine of vocation, contrary to the church in his day, taught that every vocation, every calling in life is a spiritual calling because God created us for his purpose, to serve our neighbor according to his word. We are called not to leave the world behind and leave a life, little life of seclusion, but to live in the world. Or as Jesus says, live in the world, not of the world. Each soul, each person is valuable to God and has access to God in the one and same spirit. Not because of one's choices or job or selection of how one's going to live one's life, to live in poverty, but because God has given us his spirit and holy baptism, all of us are spiritual. All of us have a calling to be sons, daughters, parents, teachers. All of us have spiritual vocation. So every builder and baker and candlestick maker, every person who flips a hot dog or a hamburger or changes a diaper, or cleans a truck stop restroom, is a spiritual servant of God, working in the world on God's behalf. Laity, thus, were free to be spiritual again, even if you weren't a monk or a nun, a pastor or a pope. These were a few of the freedoms for the church. The final freedom that we will remember today for Reformation Day 2010, freedom to serve God freely as the church. You know, perhaps the biggest charge against Luther in his day was this thinking, which really wasn't Luther's thinking. He said it was God's thinking, the gospel, St. Paul's, and the Bible. But the charge against Luther was this. If we are totally free from God's law and punishment, freely, on account of God's grace, then why do anything at all? What motivates us to do anything for God or for neighbor? If we're not have to do it, if we can't earn heaven, if it's just freely, then all just sit around and do nothing. The answer Luther gave came from God's word. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Simply put, it's this. Because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God made beforehand that we might walk in them. We are saved by grace alone, apart from works of the law. But having been set free from the obligation to serve some awful taskmaster who demands perfection that we can't keep, we find that God is willing to be served when we understand that he is who he is, and we are who we are, not slaves or workers, but beloved sons. Slaves don't remain in the house forever, Jesus said in the gospel today, but a son remains forever. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You will abide in him forever. But now what do? We're free. Luther said in his treatise on the freedom of a Christian, great quote, "A Christian man is the most free lord of all, subject to none. And a Christian man is also the most dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone." Free we are, subject to none. Servant, too, we are, subject to everyone. Not either or, but both and. The key word for the freed Christian is not the word "have to," as in I have to serve God, I have to serve my parents. Rather, the key motive for us realizing the gift of God's grace in Christ is the word love. Jesus said, referring to himself, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." And no other reason can be given or found that other than this, because God so loved the world. He loved the world and he gave his Son to come and serve us with his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Because he loved us. And love is the reason why we love him, because he loved us. We love because he first loved us. That's what it means to serve God freely as the church. And so we are, God's church, gathered, groaning, reforming, and growing up into him who is the head, Christ Jesus. We are free from the church. We've been restored back to freedoms for the church. And we serve God freely as the church. I think it's what our campus ministry students had summed up very well when they created a t-shirt last year with the little phrase on it, "We're Lutheran and we love it." Love. Blessed Reformation to you all in Christ Jesus' name. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace which surpasses all human understanding that God has set us free keep you always in the faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We rise today to confess the freedoms we have